Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, everybody. This is Dr. Butch Melton here at the Sacred Heart Old Time Gospel Hour. And I'm sorry. I know I said I was going to roll these parts on the end times. And I've got a weak span. And I tell you why. Because there's a lot of things that's going on in this world. And I was on top of it. I was watching. I was talking to my Red Dog team. And back and forth, we was, you know, and everybody else, we're going at it. We're picking each other's brains, and we're pointing here, and we're pointing there, and we're getting led down this aisle, down that aisle, and we're seeking and searching out the truth, and the truth is now being revealed of what we've been saying, that I've been saying for all these years. You know, it's just amazing how every bit of everything that I said 6-7 years ago, and even beyond that, is all coming true right now today. But unfolding before your very eyes. I woke up this morning. I heard about it last night. I heard about it yesterday afternoon, whenever the Supreme Court came to its decision. Not only did it uphold the Obamacare, and Obama came out bragging about it. He said, "Hi, you ain't nothing y'all can do about it. It's like, I told you. Ain't nothing. It's here to stay." So, and he may be right. He may be right. I don't think that the other side, the conservatives on the other side, there's nobody in Congress has got the will nor the nads to even stand up and try to make any kind of difference and get America back. I personally have given up that hope. I have not given up the hope, in other words, of a stronger unity with spiritual and the spirituality of this country, but I have given up the country of America as she once was. She is gone. She's history. The fork has already been stuck in, and now it's stuck in deeper and twisted and turned. And like I said, it was going to be a long time ago. And I know that you have heard me make that statement. People asked me a long time ago about these things, especially what happened yesterday, about the homosexuals, the gays. Asked me what I thought about it. You know, they wanted me to go on one side or the other. You know, because they said there's no middle ground. Yes, there was a middle ground. That the Holy Spirit brought it to me that it's okay, here's where you look at it. You know, and this is what the stance, which broke my heart, because I was going to take a stance on it. But I was brought down by the world. Absolutely brought down by the. I made amends last night to God Himself. I drug my sorry self out, and I had a long talk with God, and I apologized. And I went back through the Bible again and again and again, and I've got it here with me here tonight. And I'm going to read it. And I know that every Bible that everybody has in their hands is different. I know it's worded different, and they just the reason that there's people out there say it's not in the Bible, there's nothing in the Bible about gay people and homosexuality, they're crazy. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't know their Bible. And if they have read it from one end to the other, then they've read over that and never even paid attention to what God was talking about. Because they don't know what words mean. They don't go and look in the what does the version of the Greek and the Hebrew means of this word. Let's go back and look at it. Let's go back and see what the Hebrew version of the Bible says before the white man and the Romans got their hands on it and canonized it and twisted and turned it and then turned it into something that they wanted. Okay. Now I'm all tore up about this because, you know, I finally realized that once I took the middle road that I was doing. I was gonna get on here tonight, and which I am. I'm pointing my finger at myself as well because I was right in on it and allowing it to happen as well. I wasn't allowing gays to do what they do. But I, you know, in verbal terms, that I wasn't speaking out against it in the ears of Christians and Christianity of what God said. You know, I wasn't repeating what God said, and so I held myself responsible for that. I drug myself in the front of the eyes of God, like, you know, all day today, and I repented of what that great sin that I did. And I hope that he took it from my heart that, boy, what did I do? I've done wrong, because I should have stood up for what was right and told the people what they wanted to know. They came to me wanting to know. But I myself alone could have not changed the minds and what has happened yesterday. And those few that come here and listen, and God bless you, those that do listen, you're really educated upon God's word. And the reason you're coming, you want to hear the right things instead of all the wrong things. You don't want to go to the church and keep hearing the same things over and over and over again. Of like what we're talking about here, going to be talking about here tonight, that the churches will not, they swore that they never would take up the subject, and they didn't. They steered away from the subject, as I started to, but I did confront it in my own way. And what I said was this. You know, I look at this sin of, I look at it as a sin. I told everybody that. But I said, it's not up to me and you or nobody else to judge those people. It's up to God. That's God's business. It's not our business. So that's what I said, and I'm so sorry I said that. I'm sorry, I am. I've repented of that, and I'm letting that go here tonight. Because I found out, you know, that I knew. I've read the Bible before. I knew what it said. And I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know if it was something like I thought that, you know, one day I could wake up and go and open up the Bible and the Bible would change. The Bible actually would change, you know. That, you know, it would, like the gay people say, God loves gays too. You know, because I always wanted to believe in a God that loves everything and everybody. But you know that, but it can't be that way. It's not that way. You know, because I have been taken in. Just like, you know, when I was young, I was taken in, and I too went to these churches, and I too, until I got out of them, and I was instructed to believe that God is all total love, and He was all knowing, and He was all total love. He does not. God was incapable of hating. And therefore, I thought in my mind as a child that He could not get angry. God did not get angry. But as I grew older and I could experience the Bible, and I prayed that the Holy Spirit bring me to wisdom, in which He did, and I picked up the Bible and read it again for myself. Instead of going to church and letting them tell me what they want me to learn, what they want me to feel, and how they want me to be. No, I wanted to be as God wanted me to be. I wanted as God instructed me by His words to be. Not by any church or any preacher, any man that's in a robe. I didn't want to go by that. I didn't want to do that because I asked God, I said, what if He's wrong? What if He's wrong? What if He's telling me wrong? And then I'm going to be wrong all my life. And then I'm going to go be finding myself in the pit, in the bellies, in the pits of hell. And then the Holy Spirit came to me and said, well, why don't you read it yourself and make up your own mind? And I did. I did. And I found out what I found out. That the churches is not all what they are considered to be. That's the reason I believe wholeheartedly when Jesus Christ kicked over the tables, and He was pointing at that temple, and He said, this is not what my Father wanted. This is not holy place of God. My Father is not in these churches. That's why Jesus said, He said that the real church is in every man and woman's heart and the children's heart. In the heart, the seat of the church is the hearts of the people, not in a building, not in a man that's robed and clothed and clothed and got a suit and a tie on and $1,000 shoes and is there to suck your money out of your wallet as fast as he can. That's not God's religion. That's not God's religion. It is to them. That's what they're teaching you to do. Come here every Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and bring your money with you, by the way. And God forbid if they find out that you ain't been given, they'll drop by. Yeah, they'll drop by and want to know why. They want to know why you don't have a dollar or two. You say, hey, man, I got to feed my family. Well, have you got a dollar or two before I leave? And they're going to get that dollar or two. If you want to get rid of them, you're going to have to give them, cough up $2. And then they'll say, see you later. We got you $2. Ha, 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 ha. That's all they come for. That's all they worry about. Okay. But I studied, and I studied, and I found a lot of things that God railed against the churches about, and I railed against it. That's the reason the Holy Spirit brought me out to rail against the Pope and against things that they do and say, and what people is doing toward the Pope is that, you know, they're worshiping him as they would any idol. They're worshiping him as God on earth. Oh, come on, please. I'm not going to rail on this anymore. I got better fish to fry, bigger fish to fry here tonight of the homosexuals and the gay perversion that's written in the Bible. And yes, God said something all about it. He all throughout the Bible, ladies and gentlemen, God spoke about it. Warned me. Put it right there in front of my nose. And I did not see it. And I repented for it last night. And all day today I repented about it. Told God how sorry I was as a human being that I would allow that to go on through without me saying something and contesting it. But yet, you know, it's kind of like, I can't deny it. I might as well be throwing myself in there with the condoners. I was condoning it, for God's sakes. And I'm mad at myself. There's nobody's fault out there but mine. I ain't holding no fingers up and accusing anybody. Anybody. It's my own fault. Because I was willing to say I don't want to take either road. I don't want to go. I didn't want to be hot or cold. I wanted to be in a fence rider. You know, there I was. I'm always railing against the fence riders. And then I turned around and there I was on that subject, on that particular thing. I was a fence rider. Made me sick to my stomach. And I'm not here to come confess out to my grief and all that, you know, because y'all can't do anything about it. It's only God in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the only one now can give me repentance. Accept it. Accept my repentance as wholehearted as I can give out. And I'm about to give out today, but I'm going to rail on this, and I'm going to give out to people what they need to know and what God really said in the Bible about homosexuality. And I'm going to lay it to you, and there's a lot of people out there that I know that has grown so fond of it. They love it. They want to grasp it hand in hand. They want to hug it. They want to kiss it. They want to do everything they can to make it grow and prosper, even if it means that there will be no more babies ever born in this country again. Everybody across eastern seaboard to the western, when the sun comes up to the sun goes down, and everything north and south in between, they're all gay. Everybody in the United States is gay. Wouldn't that be a wonderful place? But where's the next generation coming from? I'd like to see those two women have a kid. I'd like to see those two men have one. But no, nobody's ever thought about that. And I'm going to tell you a little secret. There's going to be more and more children coming out of these schools gayer than a 15-cent biscuit because they now think it's cool. Reminds me of an episode on South Park. You know, they all dressed up. They thought being gay was cute. Just because it was cool, they went right on there. They went jumping right off the diving board into the deep end, not knowing how to swim. They dove right on in. Okay. So part of my redemption, I hope, you know, I'm not doing this because I'm hoping it'll redeem me. No. I'm doing this because the Holy Spirit told me that this needs to be said. And I think that's why that he didn't rein me in and slap me around. You know, the Lord could have took me out and killed and, you know, gave me a heart attack a long time ago or whatever he wanted to do, but he kept pulling me back for some reason. Maybe this is part of that reason. Maybe I'm going to stand up here now and maybe we can save Sodom and Gomorrah. Maybe we can save this United States of a Gomorrah. And Sodom. Let me tell you what they've done, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you what they've done. But before I'm going to tell you what they've done after I preach this, what I'm thinking. Now, I always told you I'm not a preacher. I'm not. I'm a messenger. But I'm going to try my best to preach this out to you tonight, because I've got to get this out, because if you don't take this, if you don't do this right, then I'm going to give you a message, because I'll tell you why. Because if you don't get this right, you have got, I don't care how many times you go to church. I don't care how many times you've been baptized. I don't care how many times you have sung all them songs out of them books. I don't care how many people you've loved and you've helped. I don't care what you've done out there. If you condone this, you are damned. And I will prove it to you by the word of the living God. Okay? And a lot of this came toward the New Testament, ladies and gentlemen. And they all going to revert back to the old. Oh, the Old Testament, when Christ came back, he washed all that away. You know, I said, well, why do you still believe in the Old Testament? Why do you still go up there and preach week in and week out about the Old Testament? You live, you eat and die by the sword of that Old Testament. And now you're going to tell me that just because you're gay, just because you're gay, then, you know, when Christ came and died upon the cross, he washed away all that. No, he didn't. What did Jesus say? He said, I did not come here to destroy the law. Ain't that what he said? He said, I did not come to destroy the law. He said, but what I did do is come and bring a sword, and it will divide this world. And that's what happened. And I said, and Jesus knew that people were going to be divided amongst things. And to be divided would be abortion, yes. He wants you to be divided about that. He wants his Christians to stand up against that and be divided against that. When a small minority of the country and of the world, the small minority gets their ways, and now they're killing billions of babies. But the majority don't like it, but the majority is too weak and have to have no nads. They don't have no manhood or womanhood to stand up to the Satanists themselves, but yet they're going to go strolling into the to those golden doors upon the world's manhood built buildings and calls them church, but they got enough nads to walk in there and call themselves righteous and fork out $20 out of their wallet and walk out and say they're saved. Come on here. Come on over here and have a seat, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not going to make you Mr. and Mrs. feel good here tonight, I'll guarantee you. Just like, you know, it ripped out my soul. It ripped at me and tore at me until I just couldn't get behind. You know, I just had to get it all. I had to do everything I had to do to get it all out and repent. And it was between me and God all, you know, for these days. Steady, solidly. He told me then, get on the mic. He said, now you're ready, get on the mic. He says, I want you to tell them what you told me. The Lord agreed with it. Let me go ahead and tell you what the Bible says, first of all, ladies and gentlemen. Let me go ahead now and grab your attention and grab a hold of your seat, because I'm fixing to take you through what the Bible says. Okay? Now, let me go ahead and grab this tea right here. And I'm going to have to get really... And I'm going to give you the books. Now, if you got your, if you're on a computer, get your notepad up where you can type in and get these books down and get these the chapters and the verses. I don't want you to just take what I'm saying. Just lay down and take it for wholehearted. I want you to go to your Bible and I want you to read it. Now, like I said, each and every Bible is different. The New Version against the King James Version, and on and on and on. There's so many different kinds of diversionary Bibles, and they changed it like. They changed it again a couple of years ago. And it doesn't say the same thing. And people run up to me and say, well, my Bible don't say that. I said, well, here's mine. I said, ain't that what I said? Yeah. I said, okay. But that ain't what them words mean. Yes, it is. Right here it is in Hebrew. Right here it is in Greek. Now, what does Greek say about that word? What does the Hebrew say about that word? I said, I said, let's go ahead and just pick up the dictionary. What does it say there? Oh, I didn't know that. You didn't look, did you? You didn't even investigate. But here you come and going to put a rope around my neck and hang me till I'm dead because you done had all the proof that you had to have because your said church or your said groups out there told you that I was wrong. Understand what I'm saying here. They crucified Jesus. Yes, they'll indeed crucify. They won't even think twice. They won't even take a hard breath and crucify me. I'm already on the list. I'm already on the Pope's list. And I'm kind of sweating it out when he comes here. September, because he's going to be bringing an army with him, so I got to keep an eye over my shoulder every chance I can. Yes, I do worry about that. Well, we're talking about the Antichrist. We're talking about the false prophet. We're talking about the end of days. We're talking about power and principalities, not of this world, but beyond what we can comprehend. Yes, I'm worried. Yes, I'm worried. I'm going to tell you a lot more about it on part four of the upcoming end is what I'll be talking about all that. Because part four does. I'm going to hit it real heavy with part four. And then after that, I'm going to be bringing what's kind of like what happened this week. Every time something happens, I'm going to bring it up. And then we're going to go back over the 6-7 years. Okay? And I'm going to tell you what I said. And I'm going to tell you what happened. I'm going to tell you what predictions I made. And I'm going to tell you what happened. I'm going to tell you what the Holy Spirit brought to me, and I'm going to tell you what happened, okay? Because I wrote it all down, because I didn't want anybody to say, you know, it's like my wife. She said, why are you writing all that down? I said, because I don't want you, none of my kids, I don't want nobody out there that says that, when I said, well, I knew that a long time ago. Oh, you didn't know that. You're just saying that now because it happened. And I said, no, I've got it written down, and I've got people signing it. I got people, my wife signed it. I said, I want you, she says, why am I signing this? Because I want you to never look at me in my eyes and tell me that I did not say that back in 2005. Sign it. And she signed it. And I got my kids to sign it. My neighbors signed it. I got proof of what I said. I got proof of it. How about you? How about you? I'm not stupid enough to run around and start making accusations and this, that, and the other when I don't have anything to back it up with, okay? Okay, I can back up what I said. When I predicted came true, I said it. Yes, I did. I said it come out of my mouth, but the Holy Spirit's one brought it to my heart. It wasn't me. I could have never figured it out. But it was me that the Holy Spirit chose to speak it, right? It came out of my mouth. All right. Here we go. What does the Bible say, ladies and gentlemen, about homosexuality? Homosexuality, I'm going to call it what it is, queer. You know, the new modernized version of it, everybody used to run around in the 50s, 60s, said it called fags, okay? Fags, fairies, tinkerbells, fruits. You know, you remember all that? You remember all that? Well, they didn't like that now, did they? But I guarantee you, they liked it. They loved fruit and the fairy. They didn't mind that. They didn't mind that because that's what they are. They admit it. They float around like little pansies, little fairies. They enjoy that. That's what they went out to do. Say, look at me, I'm a fairy. Boy, I mean, back in those days, you know, back before I got back into the Bible, I was 100% against them. You know, as a matter of fact, I busted one guy's. It was two guys. He kept grabbing my leg. I told him, I said, and I told him, I warned him three times when we were drinking. That's back when I was in my drinking days. And I told him, I said, I'm not that type of person. I said, I done told you twice. Now, this is the third time. If you touch my leg again, he was getting closer up toward my crotch every time he put his hand on me. And I told him, I said, here, I'm 6'6", and you're just a little bitty snapper. I said, you don't want me to hit you. I said, guarantee you don't want me to hit you. I said, but the next time you touch my leg, I'm going to bust your tater. Well, it wasn't about 10 minutes. He done it again, and out of the reflexes, I didn't hit him with my fist. If I'd hit him with my fist, I'd have killed him because I was so mad. I bitch slapped him with the backside of my hand. That's all I've ever used against somebody is the backside of my hand, which is about, almost, I don't know, it's almost about 11 inches wide, you know, when I open up my hand, kind of like Bigfoot. But when I hit him back at the whole living room, the wall, it looked like somebody took a shotgun and blew the man's brains out. That's how much blood came out of that man's head. It came out of his eyes, his ears, his nose, his mouth. They took him out in an ambulance. And I told him, I said, listen, he starts grabbing my privates, I'm going to punch him out, period. And I had witnesses there. And then they finally went down there, and he finally he survived. He finally confessed, yeah, he did that. So they couldn't press charges on me. Okay. He said, my God, how many times you hit him? I said, only hit him once. He said, I've never seen nobody hit once with a head like that. I said, well, just stay tuned, because if any of his buddies out there ever does that to me again, you're gonna be scraping a lot more of them off the. So he wrote it down. I said, what are you writing down? He said, well, I'm writing down if anybody has got a tore up tater, come see you. And I said, okay, that's fine. And he just kind of smiled at me, you know. But anyway, what does the Bible really say, ladies and gentlemen? What does the Bible really say about homosexuality? Okay, let's go ahead and do this. Look at it. Latavius, okay? Latavius chapter 18, verse 22. Write it down. You got a pencil, paper? I hope you do. I hope you're writing this all down. Latavius 18, 22. And I quote what it says here. It says, you shall not lie, L-I-E. I'm gonna read this all out, and then I'm going to go back and tell you what it means. Okay. Quote, you shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. It is an abomination, unquote. Okay, what does that mean? Lie means have sex, lay down. It also even says if you lay naked, you don't even have to have sex, but if you lay naked and your bodies are touching one another, that's all you got to have. In other words, if you're spooning or if you're holding one another, you don't have to have sex to make it be an abomination. If you're naked and your skin, you know, if you revert back to when Noah, you remember Noah, when he got drunk after the flood and his son walked in and saw him naked, and Noah went into fifth grade hysteria, and he placed a curse upon his son for just looking at him, just placing his eyes upon his naked body. He said it was, and Noah said it was an abomination. Okay? This is how serious this is, ladies and gentlemen. This is how serious this thing is. Even if you look upon another naked man looking upon another naked man's body, it's an abomination. Okay, I want you to listen to this. Everybody's going to email me and say, what are you going to do when you're in the military or you're in jail and prison and they make everybody take showers together? I said, well, you can take showers together without standing there staring at the man's body. Is this thing on? Am I got your attention? I hope I do. You know, God made four walls and the water is coming out of the faucet. You can stare up at the faucet, head of the faucet, and watch the water come out. You know, you can look at your own hands and look at the wall that you're staring at. You don't have to be standing there looking at everybody and checking everybody's equipment out. You know what I'm saying out there? You know, and ladies do the same thing. Okay. So it is an abomination. If you even do that, if you even buy one of those books and stand there and look through it, yeah, that's what you're doing. It's an abomination. So if you just buy one of those simple books, and you say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. All it does is show the top part. It doesn't matter. It's an abomination. Okay. I hope that's what it says. It said a male, as he lies naked with a female. Okay. So that means, if it ain't a female, then anything else besides a man and a female being in the bed naked, laying or even having sex is a, what is it? What is it? I want you to look at the word abomination unto God. Abomination, I want you to listen. Abomination. Okay, I want you to circle that about 100,000 times, because it's abomination in the eyes and heart of God. And don't you ever get a church or a pope or anybody comes up and tells me that I might point at me and say, you've got to accept it. No, I don't, because right there it says, God's not going to accept it. Jesus Christ is not going to accept it. The Holy Spirit doesn't accept it. And I'll be by George, I'm not going to accept it either. I stand my grounds right here today. Yes, I got family members. I got real close family members, by the way, that are gay. You know. And that's the reason I told God, that's probably why I rode the fence, is because of that. You know, and he said, you know, I cannot let my love stand in the way of an abomination sin. I can't do it. I cannot destroy my soul because I may. What the world says, I have to love. No, I don't have to love. I don't have to love it just because I love the person. I don't have to love the deeds. Excuse me, I think Satan's trying to get in I think Satan's trying to get involved with this. If my microphone was skipping, it was here. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I don't have to get involved with that. No. And I'm going to explain to you a little bit how dangerous this is when you accept it. I'm going to show you how dangerous it is if you accept it, okay? When you accept it, you are in danger of your soul going to hell. And I'm going to explain that to you. Just don't turn the channel. Don't leave, because at the end of this, I'm going to tell you how it's going to be possible that you will wind up as a Christian, and you thought in your mind, because you have been washed in the blood of Christ, you've been washed in the basin of the church stand there and everybody put their hands on you and told you that you were saved, and there you woke up in the pits of belly of hell, and you brought up out of there, and God looked at you with his fiery eyes and says he condemned you to immortal hell forevermore because of the abomination that you had done. That you condoned it. You condoned it. And I'm going to get into that. I'm going to tell you why that God said that and why he's going to uphold that rule. Let's go on, ladies and gentlemen. And another, again, the same book, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. He said, quote, unquote, here, 20:13. Let's just go a little bit below that. It says, quote, if there is a man who lies with a male as those who lie with a woman, both of them have committed a detestable act. they shall surely be put to death. Their blood guiltness is upon them. Their blood guiltness is upon them. I got your attention now. This is in the Bible. What does the Bible really say about homosexuality? Well, I'm fixing to tell you right here. You just learned out of Leviticus chapters 18, 22, chapters 20, 13, what it says there. Let's go roll on. Let's roll on. I'm sorry. Here we go again. I'm sorry. That's Satan. That's exactly what it is. It's Satan. Satan is doing this to this show. He does not want this out, and he's fighting against. Right now, we're doing battle right now, ladies and gentlemen. And this is proof of it right here. He's attacking my system right here. My system's been fine all week, all month. But once I get involved with this, then here comes Satan and all his powers and principalities, and it's not going to work. Because right now, I'm calling upon the Holy Spirit and the angels to stand around this till I get this out. And they're going to protect this microphone and my system until I get this out. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, and that's another thing too. I'm gonna stop pause right here. You know, I know that this is not, it's not. It was, you know, I got this on too late, and I didn't get to advertise it on SS like I should have. But I got it on there late, and I hope that please, whatever you do, give out this link. And if you're ashamed of God, if you're ashamed of me and ashamed of what I'm talking about here, if you're ashamed of it, then go right ahead and stick your head, you know where. You know where you can stick your head. If you're ashamed of it, then you are in abomination as well. And you're sold, I'm going to guarantee you what the word says, you are going to hell. And I'm going to tell you why Jesus said the road is wide. And the door is tall and wide as well to the gates of hell. And many, he said, many, many are going to go through that door into hell. But he said, the narrow is the way. Narrow is the path. Small is the door to heaven. And few, only few will make it through there. Now I know why he said it. Now I know why he said that. Because indeed, there's going to be just a few enter heaven. I truly believe that. I used to think that the majority of the world is going to go to heaven. But, oh, wait a minute. Oh, back up the truck. Now I know what Jesus meant by narrow is the way, small is the door. I want y'all to think about that. I want you to think about that. And think about how many times your church has told you not to sweat it, not to worry. You know, no matter what. They always tell you, no matter what you do, no matter what you do, God loves you. No matter what you do. God loves you. I got news for you. That's not what this right here is talking about. And I can go through the Bible and tell you about killing. I mean, not killing, but murder is what it says about murder. And when you murder a little child and an unborn baby, that's murder. And God looks at it that way, and you're murdered. And if you condone it, you are just as guilty as one of them. So let's go to 1 Corinthians. Let's roll on. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. It says here, quote, "Or do you not know? Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do you not know that? Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of the living God? Do not be deceived," it says. It ain't what Butch says, it's what it says. It's written in the Bible. It's written in God's Word. Go read it for yourself. It says, "Do not be deceived." It goes on, it says, "Neither fornicators nor adulterers," idlers are ones that worship idols, "or adulterers," adulteress that goes around having sex with Johnny come lately and everybody else next door and down the street. And every time the fair comes in, every time the football team comes in, they go out and see how many of the team that they can have sex with, you know, and it goes for men too as well. You know, there you go. I mean, there's the gays now are bashing at the door. And it goes and he says, nor effeminate, nor the homosexuals. There you go. It mentions it right there in God's Word. What is gays? What is queers? What is fags? What is fairies? What is pansies? What is the fruits? They're homosexuals. Okay. Now, they have gotten away from that word homosexual. Homos. Okay. They've gotten away from that. Now they want to be called, quote unquote,
the gay. We're gay.
And that covers both men and women. They're gay. They don't want to be called lesbos or lesbians anymore. Or queers or fags. They don't want to be called that anymore. I don't know why, because that's what they are. Okay. In the eyes of God, what are they? Okay. So let's go on. It says, no effeminate nor homosexuals. There it is. It goes onward. It says, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor rivalers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. Okay. Now, there's a lot of territory there that they have done covered right there, right? Swindlers, rivalers, drunkards. Now, they ain't talking about people going out there and having one or two or three beers. Now, I'm not saying that. It says in the Bible to give people that are dying and sick strong drink. Yeah, to get them a real magnificent buzz. That's what it says. You know, they're not going to, there's no possible way that you can get a dying man drunk. There's no possible way that if somebody's really hurt really bad that they're going to get drunk. They're not. What you're going to do is alleviate their pain and their suffering. That's what you're going to do. And that's humane to do. But I know a lot of evangelists out there and Baptists. They would die. They would shoot you if you tried to put one shot of liquor to the lips of somebody that is suffering. They'll kill you. They'll shoot you dead in the name of the Holy God. Even though God said it was okay for me to give that man and that woman strong drink, they will shoot me dead because they, in their belief that their church, their minister, their rabbi, whatever it is you want to call them. That person that wears the suits and robes told them that no, if you smell the stopper, if you have it in your home, you're going to hell. That ain't what God said. That's not what's in the Bible. Read your Bible. Read what the Word said. Jesus drank wine. He drank wine that came out of his miraculous powers. And they came running up. They said, "Where did you get this wine? This wine, I have drank wine all over Rome, and wine that came out from all over around the world, but this is the best, greatest wine I have ever in my life drank." I guess so. Where did it come from? It was a heavenly made wine. That's the wine that they use in heaven, ladies and gentlemen. God created it. Jesus created it. And he smiled. He said, have fun. And he filled up 10 or 15 of those big, and I'm talking about jugs that's 6 foot tall, and they was all running around, yelling, having screaming. They were dancing, having a good time. Was there some drunks there? Of course they was. Yeah, you know how it is. You can have 50 people there, and there's going to be a good handful, five or six, is going to be making a fool of themselves and being fall down drunk. Yes, they are in fights and everything like that. Okay, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry about the phone. I hope I got that took care of. I don't know. See, hey, there we go. Satan is working overtime. But let's go on, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go on. Going on to Romans chapter 1, verses 26. Okay? verses 26 through 28. It says, quote, right there, listen up to me here now, pay attention. Quote, unquote, it says, for this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. Let me read that again. For this reason, God gave unto them over to degrading passions, the passions of bestiality, and then men having sex with men, women having sex with women, and women having sex with little girls, which that goes on, but you never hear about it, but it does go on. And have you ever wondered why that has these little small girls hasn't ever came out about, you know, that these older women has molested them? There's a reason behind that. And then the young boys also has been testifying, and even the priest of the Catholic kingdom persuasion. And I ain't talking about just a few. I know from a fact that they have firm belief, and they back it up with it's not the Bible, but they think it is by the Greeks and the Roman emperors and all that. They made it. They decreed it. If you're going to work for gods, any type of god, and if you're going to swear off sex, it's okay to have sex with a virgin male. There you go. That's what it is. You will not defy yourself as long as it's a virgin male of the same rank. In other words, man with man, woman with woman. And it was that decree was made up by who? Made up by the inner courts of the great ones that wanted to, the emperors like Caesar and all that wanted to have these cute little boys. You know, they said, bring me that little boy over yonder into my quarters, and that one over there too as well. Bring them, yes, and then I want to be left alone with them. And then he threatens them, says, if you say a word, you're dead. And 9 times out of 10, they killed them anyway. After they had, after Caesar had, or the Romans and all this, and then the Egyptians or whatever it is, all had sex with them. They automatically killed them anyway, so they wouldn't talk. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, what is going on here? Okay, what is going on? Now, in this day, modern day and time, they can't just jump up and kill these little boys. So they had to threaten them. It's not only they didn't threaten just them, because the little boys, they said, well, if it's just me, they can go ahead and kill me because I want to get out of this. I want this suffering to stop. If they got to kill me, so be it. That's why a lot of those little boys, they had, you know, in the Catholics had the young men had the highest suicide. Now you know why. You know why now the young men in Catholic churches had the highest rate of suicide. You know, now you know why. Because they was getting through the pain and the suffering that they had to go through under the hands of these demons. Demons are nothing else but demons. Demonic, Satan, and I guarantee it that's what it is. And yes, the Pope covered it up because Pope was one of them. It's one of his. It just made him mad because they got caught at it. And the only thing that he done was reamed them about, hey, you stupid, you got caught. And they threatened the young boy, you know. But they didn't threaten just the young boys. They threatened to say, you love your sister? Yeah. Well, if you love your sister, you keep your mouth shut, because if you don't, she's dead. You love your mother and father? Yes. How about your grandparents? Yes. If you want them to stay alive? Yes. Well, if you want them to stay alive, you keep your mouth shut. Because if you don't, anything happens to me, I've got people that's going to come after them and kill them. You understand what I'm saying? And said, yeah. So that's why they never come out and said anything. You know, by everybody says, why did they have to wait till that 20s, 30s, 40 years old? It's because they was waiting till their parents was getting one of them done passed away, and then, you know, and then all their siblings, they also agreed, you know, yeah, come out with it. We don't care what happens to us. This has got to be stopped. This has got to be known. And they said, oh, thank God, I want to get this off my chest. Man, you know, they was fixing to commit suicide, even though it had all stopped. They still had nightmares. They still relived it every day. And I know how it is, and I guarantee you do too. There's things in your life you relive every day that you have regretted all your life, and you will remain regretting it until the day you die. The moment you die, you're still going to carry it to your grave. God's just not going to, even though he forgives you and you repent, you still want to carry it to your grave. Now, he may not bring it up after if you truly did repent and he wiped it off. He's not even going to judge you. He's not even going to judge you if you are truly one of Christ and you have truly repented for all the things that you've done and you do it no more. That's the trick. Can you go and make repentance? Don't do like the Catholics do. And some of these other religions do, and you know you can go do anything you want to as long as you go and run to one of their priests or their rabbis or whatever it is. I'm not going to call them out by name. And you go confess with your mouth your sins, and then they go, oh, you go say 150 Hail Marys, pay $500 to the church, and walk in peace, my son. God has forgiven you. My foot. Wake up out there, everybody. Every one of you out there has been running to those dog houses and been confessing with your mouth, and you think you've been relieved of your sins. That's just all a lie to get your money. They call it a redemption fine. They used to give you a little piece of paper. They don't do that no more because the courts of all the world said it was wrong. And especially here in America. And then they got, you know, that's kind of like strong arm. It's kind of like the mafia. And that's exactly what it is. It's a mafia with a robe on it. And a pointy hat. That's exactly what it is. Let's go on. He says, for this reason God gave unto them over to degrading passions. For their women exchange the natural functions for that which is unnatural. In other words, the women now. The women are exchanging. They're talking about the women now. They was talking about the men a while ago. Okay, man shall not lay with man. Now it's talking about the women folk. That the women exchange their natural function. What's their natural function is to have babies. Okay, that's to what God said, told Adam and Eve, now go and reproduce and fill the land. And that's a blessing unto them. It was a blessing for a man and woman to have sex. It's a blessing for them to do it, get married and have sex and have children. That's a blessing. But anything out of that side of that realm is not a blessing. It's a curse by God. Now it goes on and says here, for the woman exchanged her natural abilities, her natural functions for the unnatural. You know, to not to do it in the proper places, you know. You know what I'm talking about, you know, instead of behind. Anal, that's what it goes in. Everybody knows now, okay, just accept that anal sex, you know. And that's unnatural for a man and woman to do. That's what it's talking about. Unnatural, you know, even husband and wives can do that, and that's unnatural in the eyes of God. So if you've done that when you're married, you better get on your hands and knees and ask God for forgiveness. That's what I'm saying here today. It's not a pleasure for God to look down and see that. If you think it is, then there's something wrong with you. Okay. I just want to ask you this. If you saw your daughter doing that, if you was watching your daughter do that, okay, at a young age, or even if she's in her 30s or 40s, do you think it's cool? I'm just asking you. You probably, you know, there's a lot of them out there would probably get turned on by that. You know, it may not be a good question for me to ask in this time and situation that we are in right now today, because Satan and the devils and the powers and principalities of hell itself has been unleashed right now upon America. This great, once great land is not anymore. America's gone. And it shall burn with the fires of pits of hell. For this reason, it's unnatural. And it goes on, it says, in the same way also the men abandon their natural functions as well of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another. In other words, men burn with desire toward other men. Women burn with their desire toward other women, or maybe burn their desires for barnyard animals or to their dogs and cats. We don't know. Now people can love their vacuum cleaners and their toasters and their refrigerators and their automobiles and on and on and on. And it's not funny. It's not funny because it's become what? A reality. It's becoming a reality, ladies and gentlemen. I can give you absolute proof of it. It's happening. Okay. And it says, goes on. Let me catch up here. I'm reading this out of the Bible. And if, men with men, it says. Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons. What's this? What does this mean? Receiving in their own persons means receiving in their own anuses, back door, receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. Okay, that's what that means. And it goes on to the verse 28, and it says, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to the depraved mindset. Let me read that again. They, as they chose not to see fit to acknowledge God any longer in these gay misfits, has done that. They don't reckon that. They're the main ones that's calling for the, you know, they was the main ones to take the Bible out of the school. Why? It's because that's the only way that you're going to move this progression along to what they have got. What we see today, everything that's is sinful, that has been allowed in law by this country now, was allowed in because they have taken the God's word away. And that's the only way it could have happened. And then they didn't blind people in the churches. They didn't blind the congregation. No, they trained you and brainwashed you through Hollywood and these talk shows on television that it's all good. It's all good. God loves them too. Don't you understand? Don't you understand? How can it be? It's not bad. It's not bad, ladies and gentlemen. It's not bad. It's just as pretty and beautiful as it is the other one. No, it's not. For the love of Jesus, I'm calling out in the name of Jesus for you to open up your eyes and ears. See it for what it is and hear it and understand it with wisdom what it really is and what's really happening here. Okay. It's not proper. So they do not acknowledge God any longer. God gave them over to a depraved mind. And that's what it is. It's a depraved mind. It's not a healthy mind. It's a depraved mind. And now they're trying to tell you all that it's in their DNA. They can't help it. They can't help it. Yes, they can help it. Yes, they can. That they just have, they just wanted it so bad. Their desire burned so much that they called upon this doorway to be opened between themselves and the darkness of evil. And evil entered into their heart. And God saw that they was not going to fight back against evil. That they wanted it. They wanted it. So God removed his hand. He says, And God gave over to them a depraved mind. So God said, you want it, you got it. He took his hand off. He said, you want it so bad, you got it now, brother. You got it now, brothers and sisters. You got it now. You live with it. You do it, all these depraved things. You do all of this vile, vicious stuff. And you go ahead and see if you're going to go ahead and think you're going to get away with it. But when you come see me in the end of days, when you look into my fiery eyes of judgment, then you're going to know better. You're going to know the day that when you're resurrected, because I told you, God told you, God told you. He said over time and time again, he says, when you die and when I resurrect you from the dead, the moment your eyes are open, you will know all things in the universe. You will know everything that God knows, and therefore you will know what you have done in your life is a total abomination, and it can be damnable by the hand of God, in which it will be. And you'll know right then at that moment, second, that you had not repealed it and repented of it in the blessed face of the Lord Jesus Christ. You did not drag yourself there with tears in your eyes. You did not do that. You did not plead and beg. You didn't for days and days and days in and out and say, I'm sorry, my life is worthless. I'm worthless, no piece of crap. You know, and only the way I can be saved now is through you, my beloved Jesus, and I will do from evermore, from this moment on, I will not think or do or achieve anything like that ever again. I will change my depraved mind. Watch it. Help me, Lord. I cannot deal without your help because I'm only a mere human being. But I can. I can do it with the help of you. And together, 50-50 chance, I've got it, because once you enter to me, Lord, now I got 100% chance. I will not be stopped. I will be redeemable. I will go to heaven because I will fight against this. I will stand tall. I will say no more of this mockery of God. I will not say no more of this strange abomination that has been brought across like a plague upon this land and through the brotherhood and inside the churches and the doors and hallways. And I don't have to stand there and look at it. I don't have to stand there and look at it and see it. And the churches cannot bend my arm to make me see it. It's right. And I don't care who they are, the Pope or whoever it is, the majesties of this world, and the most elitist in all the Hollywoods, they can all go straight to hell in my book, and which they are going to do. They're going to bust. Every one of them is going to bust hell wide open. And I ask God before, if I have to go to hell, I want to see them go before me. I want to see them scratch. I want to see them scream. I want to see every one of them, those in Hollywood, and you know who they are, all those progressive, radicalized liberals, every one of them, I want to be standing there and listen to them scream and scream and scream, even if I too have to join them. But I want to have the pleasure. because it was they that done me in as well. And you're paying for it. You're going out and giving your hard-earned money to these movies, and you're paying for it. You're giving them that money to feed this monster, to feed Satan, to keep him moving onward instead of giving your money to people like conservatives in the right side and loves God, Jesus Christ, and hates all this vileness and this puke and vomit that has become a plague upon our land. Instead of giving your money to them, oh no, you want to give it to Hollywood. You want to run and give it to Hollywood. Well, I'm going to tell you something. God is not in Hollywood. God's never been in Hollywood. I don't care how many movies and four-hour movies they make about Jesus Christ and the Passion. They're partying. Hey, did you see Christ die on the cross? Yeah, let's love it. Here we go again. Just can't get around it, can we? You know, it's kind of like when it gets to the point where it gets better than saying, oh, Satan, he moves right on in, does he not? But anyway, let's keep going on here. So, you know, ladies and gentlemen, let me go ahead and do this. Homosexuality is clearly condemned in the Bible. It's clearly, without a shadow of a doubt, condemned in the Bible. Homosexuality undermines God's created order, where He made Adam and Eve and man and woman to carry out His command to fill up this earth, to subdue this earth and fill it up and populate it. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Homosexuality, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't say anything about homosexuality, but it does say about Adam and Eve was man and woman, and He did not create Adam and Sam. Or Eve and Betty. That didn't happen, now did it? That was not the normal order. The normal order of things was Eve was gave to Adam. Adam was gave to Eve. That's the normal order of God's mindset. Not Adam and Sam or Adam and Steve. Not Eve and Betty. You know, it's just that's unnatural. That's unnatural in the eyes of God. Understand what's going on here. And if you don't see it that way, then you are a condoner. I'll get into that later on. So homosexuality, ladies and gentlemen, cannot carry out the mandate. They cannot carry it. Now, they can carry out all the mandates they can by the hand of man, which we have done seen yesterday. Well, it's today, Saturday. It was yesterday. Now, like I said, I'm sorry that I had to get this on at a later time because I couldn't get it on in time to. And I just hope you can forgive me. But this is a powerful show, and I want you. You don't have to answer those questions. If you want to, study it and then answer them for yourself. Yes, if you can study up on this. You can use what I've said here. You can go up against these terrible demons and these Satanists, and you can go up against Satan himself. Don't be scared to go up against the devil. Don't be scared now to stand up against what they call the law. It's not the law. It's the law of this land. It's the law of man, but it's not the law of God. Understand that. And what did Jesus say? He says, when you have God the Father, who can stand against you? Nobody can. Do not be afraid. Do not fear. Stand there and look them dead in the eye and do not move. Do not flinch, because you're in the right position. Even if they kill you, all they have done is killed your body. They did not kill your soul. They cannot have your soul everlasting. For that belongs to God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit will take you in into their bosom at that moment, and then to live with Him forever and ever and ever. So which is the best? Which is best, to stand there and give them a stare down, and no matter what, even if you lose your life, or do you want to just go ahead and whimper around and kiss their feet and kiss their rings on their fingers and say, yeah, whatever you say, yeah, whatever you say and do, yeah, it's right, it's the law of the land, yeah, it's the law of man, I've got to abide by it. And then your soul will forevermore be dying and not dying forevermore. You think you're dying and you wish you could die, but you cannot die in hell, the lake of fire. You just burn and be tortured and be ripped apart piece by piece, be bit and every time your liver's ripped out, and it, as in Enoch stated, he saw it happen. He said there was birds ripping out men's livers, and then he was enduring the pain just as it was real. He said, it is real. It is real. It's not a dream. It's not a nightmare. It is real. And the liver was being pulled out by these huge birds and ripped out and eaten by these huge birds. And you think the man would die? No, he grew a new liver. He grew the new liver, and all the wounds healed up. And for a little while, there was everything normal. Then they swooped down and got him and ripped it out again and eat that liver, and where there goes through that all that pain again. And that's not all. They rip out your heart while you're alive, and all you go through that pain, and then next time they'll rip your lungs out. Next time they rip your eyes out and your brain, you know, and it just keeps going on and on and on. Things running up your anus and then eating you alive from the inside out. This is what hell is going to do. This is what it's going to do, and far worse things than I just described. Far worse things is going to happen, and more painful things is ever going to happen. Even though you're burning all along with it at 20. They could be praying for rain. They'll be praying for a drink of cold water, but none shall be there. None shall be there. None will be. No, you will not even know what water is anymore. Any coolness of anything, no matter what. Homosexuality cannot carry out that mandate in heaven. Cannot carry out that mandate which was made by God. In addition, ladies and gentlemen, it undermines the basic family unit. What are we talking about here? Marriage, right? Right. It undermines, homosexuality undermines the basic family unit of a husband and a wife, which is the God-ordained means of procreation. And therefore, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not, it is also dangerous to society. I'll repeat that again and again and again. It is dangerous to society. If you don't believe me, I'll tell you what. Go Google this. Google, is homosexuality dangerous? I want you, after this show, just type it in. Is homosexuality dangerous? I can cover that. I may well. If y'all want me to, just please in the show comments at the bottom of this show before you leave. If you have to sign in, do so. If you don't, I don't know. Because I've done in my email and in my PMs because they're being spied upon. And I don't want the NSA and the government and all and the popes and China and Russia and all of them sticking their nose into my business. And I'm going to do a show about that as well. So keep your eyes and ears open. And I'll post it publicly and all that on Viva Facebook and Twitter and all that. But that's all they do get out of me. They're not going to be having no PMs to be holding up over their head. I got it right here. They're not going to do that to me. But let's go ahead, ladies and gentlemen, and continue on. Unlike other sins, listen to me closely here. Coming to you direct from the Holy Spirit. Unlike other sins, homosexuality has a heavy, heavy, heavy judgment administered by God Himself upon those who commit. Now listen to what I'm saying here. Ministered upon those who commit it and support it. Even though that you are not gay. Even though that laid down naked with a man and had sex with. Doesn't even matter if you had sex. If you just got naked and wrestled in motor oil or something. And everybody thought it was funny. You want to videotape it or something. But if you support it, if you stand by it, if you stand behind it and you cheer them on, you give them money to let them become stronger where they can get people to go to Washington and break down Congress and break down the Supreme Court, which they had done. That's what they did. They bought and paid for it. Ladies and gentlemen, by the minority, even though it was a minority, it still won out. It was by the full support. And that's the reason they've done it, is because if you take a poll across this country and ask everybody out there, I can even ask you right now, I can go and ask all of your family members, they'll say, oh, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not, no, I don't say nothing bad about the gay people. No. Now, let them do whatever they want to do as long as they leave me alone. But that doesn't matter. You're still supporting it. It's just like an alcoholic. Do you want to bring in a bottle of alcohol or a case of beer into your home when you know that your husband is an alcoholic? And if he gets a hold of it, aren't you supporting it? Aren't you supporting it? And if he doesn't get a hold of it, you're still supporting the habit because he sees it and he's building up that desire till he blows and goes get some. And then the next drunk, you'll have to say, well, it wasn't really his fault. It was my fault for bringing that in. But you don't look at that. You point your finger at him and say, he's no good. He's never going to learn. He's going to die drunk. And it was your fault for bringing it in the house and tempting him and ramping up his desire. So that's what I'm trying to tell you. You know, what are you going to do? You know, when you have just supporting it. God says He does not. He's going to condemn you, just like when you have a bank robber. You have a bank robber going to rob a bank, right? You're going to have a car to somebody to drive you to there, and sit outside and pick you up and drive you away. Well, that driver does not commit the bank robbery, but when all of them are caught, the driver is going to be charged and given the same amount of time as the others that did do the act. That's what God's going to do in the end of days. If you condone it, and you voted for it, and you voted, oh, it's okay for them to marry, then you are a supporter of it. You're going to be charged by God if you do not. I swear in the places of where I shouldn't swear to. But I'm trying to get to you so horribly bad right now. I don't want your soul to die and have to go and live in that condemnable place called everlasting hell. I don't want you to have to suffer through that. I don't want to see not one man, woman, or child go through that. But if you support it and you abet it, you give money to it, you feed it, and if you just, and like I said, a simple thing, and when you just stand up and say, well, it's okay by me, well, then there you go. God's going to run that back. He's got it on tape, and He's going to play it for you. It's okay. It's not bothering me. It's okay. It's okay. It's just because it's not bothering you doesn't mean it's not bothering somebody else or causing somebody else to commit self-destruction by suicide. It may be some of their friend, maybe their mother and daddy. It may be their grandparents. They can't live with that. You know, long years, many years back, that's what happened. They committed suicide. But now it's not that bad. Now it's okay with it. It's okay to have, you know, those and come out and even admit it. Oh, it's a big thing now. You'll make a lot of money telling your stories to magazines. You'll make, you know, they may make a movie of your life, how you came out of the closet, you know. And it's a big deal. It's a big thing. You are a movie star when you're gay now. You know, you've got more opportunities. They're coming out with gay movies and gay shows all the time. And everywhere I turn, I can't watch those things. I turn it. Hey, man, and if that's all they're going to have on television, I'm getting rid of my TV. I'm getting rid of my boob tube. Or I'll just play some of the really cool games like fishing. You know, I like that. I like games like that. You know, that's not going to cause anything, no harm, you know. No foul, no harm. Hunting games, you know. Fishing games, you know. You don't chat, you don't play with the world, you don't play that, you know, all these war games like they got going on. All that it's doing is causing an uproar. And they want to know, our military wants to know where they're learning all that. Where did ISIS learn all of this? Well, from those video games. And, you know, all that is, it's training them. That's training them. You know, if you get those NASCAR games and you drive all those tracks are actually a simulator. And they'll tell you, the NASCAR driver said, he said, what'd you do last night? Well, I played the NASCAR game for PlayStation 4 or the Xbox, and I got on this track and I drove the whole race, and I drove it several times all weekend, and I think I learned a few tricks. I think even our pit crew learned a few things, you know, when to come in, how long to stay out. Da 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 da, and you don't realize that these people are learning this stuff. And this, you know, these simulated games. You know, remember the Family Sims, SIMS? Well, lo and behold, they had families and raise a family, and you get married, you have children, and you feed them and educate them. They, you know, they get married, and you have grandkids, but then then you have some of them become gay. What do you do then? Well, that's what they done. they incorporated, and then you say, well, I'm going to boot them out of the house. I'm not going to stand for this. And then there's a big box comes up and says, you can't do that. It's immoral. If you do that, then the whole community is going to turn on you like a pack of wolves. Everybody, and that's true. That's true. Because everybody nowadays, if they hear about you giving any homosexual any kind of grief, they're going to turn their back on you. They're going to treat you like you got the plague. And that's why everybody is condoning it. That's why everybody is supporting it right now. But I'm trying to tell you right now, give you fair warning, what God says right here. He said it's God ordained of procreation. And it will give us into the world a dangerous society. And he said God himself, judgment will be administered by God himself upon those who commit this homosexuality. And he's gonna judgment will be administered by God to those that support it. If you just let somebody use your car so they can go to somebody's house and you know that they're gonna have homosexual sex with this guy, and then they're gonna come back and bring your car back and throw you the keys. Well, you have supported them doing it. You are just as guilty. You might as well had joined them and been a three-way. Okay, you might as well went right along, with them and done it right along with them, because you're going to get the same charges. Okay, now have I got your attention? If I got your attention, I hope I do. God help us all. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's this judgment of committing and supporting. This judgment is that those who practice it. Those that practice it are given over to their passions and believe it's a lie. Okay? Which means that their hearts are allowed to be hardened by their sins. Their hearts and their minds are telling them that God's testimony to himself, God says that he is going to judge and he's going to send them to hell. But these homosexuals are believing it's a lie. They're believing it's a lie. It's all a lie. Now they're coming out and said, God loves us too. God loves everybody, and we are everybody. We are. Now, you know what they're saying? They are love. They are love. They are the pure love. Did you know that? There's no other love but gay love, and they'll tell you that your love is to them is nasty. That your love, what you're doing is a sin. Who wants to bring a human life into this terrible world? What they're doing is far better. Is that not the lie of Satan? Is that not the lie of Satan instead of a lie of God? I'm asking you out there, people. I'm asking you, are you ready to put on the armor of God? Have you got it in you? Have you got it in your soul? Have you got it in your spirit to stand up and save your very own soul? See, I can't do it. I can't do it for you. That's the reason I've always said, I can't save you. I can't. I don't care how much water I dump on you and dunk you into 15 rivers. And I can get 500 people to lay hands on you and pray all they can. You know, that ain't going to get the job done. I don't care if you go to church every day for 4 hours a day. That's not going to get it. That ain't going to get the job done. That's not going to get you in heaven. That's not going to keep you out of hell. It's going to be you putting on that armor. It's going to be you fighting against the powers and principalities of hell and Satan and all these bad things yourself. And I know that, and I know you're just like me and everybody else. We're not strong enough to fight against Satan. Satan's going to overpower us. But that's where Jesus come in. Remember when Jesus said, he said, when you have the Father, when you have me, you have the Holy Spirit, who can stand against you? If God is for you, who can be against you? But you've believing now that that's a lie. You're now, right now, Christians, I'm talking to you plastic Christians out there, so-called Christians, you fence riders, you're now done turned your heart over to it's a lie, because you're believing with them. You're siding with them. So if you're siding with them, then you're not siding with God. So guess where you stand at, plastic Christians? Guess where you now stand at, huh, fence riders? I'm just asking you. I'm asking you, and I'm telling you to go get that Bible, and I want you to read it. I want you to read it real good, because you see, this stuff that I'm going over here right now, your churches, I guarantee you, has spluttered so fast over that that makes you come into those evangelist things. And spit flying everywhere. You know, and they say it so fast you don't know what they're saying. You know, but they do slow down to the good parts that they really want you, that's really going to drag the money out of your wallet. They slow down then, you know, and it's really going to pep you up, make you Mr. and Mrs. feel good. They'll slow down then. But when they get to those other places, boy, they're going to speed it up and then be cramming their handkerchief in their mouth like this and try to tell you. And you say, what'd you say? Well, you know, I ain't got time to go back and say it anymore. I don't have time now, but it was good. Wasn't it powerful? Yeah, right. If I knew what they were saying was, they was going over all this, that you are supporting it. You just as well committed it. You know, if you were sitting in the car, you might as well got a gun and went on in there with them, because if they'd have pulled a trigger and killed somebody in there, and they're gonna get charged not only with bank robbery, they're gonna be charged with murder too. And you sitting there behind the car wheel said, listen, I didn't kill nobody. The judge says, well, you might as well, because you were there with them. Whatever they done, you're going to be charged the same. If they committed rape, you got a rape charge. If they committed murder, you're going down first-degree murder. If they get the death penalty, so will you. Okay? And that's what God's going to do to you in heaven. Okay? If you are a supporter, God have mercy upon your soul. So as a result, ladies and gentlemen, as a result, homosexuals can no longer see the errors that they're making of what they are doing. And they will not seek for, and I'll repeat that, they will not seek forgiveness. So don't even try it. Don't even try it. They're not going to do it. They don't know what to, they don't know anything about how to uproot that demon within inside of them anymore. It's going to be falling short of an exorcism now. It's going to take an exorcism. I know what I'm talking about. They are possessed, and they are finally possessed, totally possessed, and that's just the way it's going to be. They still look at you. They act normal, like any other person. They talk like a normal person. They do normal things. But when it comes to that sex, the man for man and woman for woman, that's when, if you are in the room, that's when you will see the demonics come out. That's where you'll see how evil it all really is. And maybe they could see it too if they tape record it, but I doubt it would probably turn them on that much more. They call it brutality. Well, we would call it brutality, but they call it just plain old sex. There you go. Okay. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. They're going to die. They're going to die in their sins. And in the face of God's righteousness at the judgment seat will condemn them. And I guarantee you, not only he's going to condemn them, he's going to condemn all them that were their friends and their family that supported them. That's the reason I'm giving out this fair dare warning right now. You can be around them, but you don't have to support it. You can make your words known, your heart known, that I condemn this. I condemn this. You know, and if you're going to hate me, you're going to stop loving me for that, so be it. So be it. I'm not going down to hell. You're not dragging me to hell with you. You're not going to do it. If you can't repent from it and can't run away from it, you can't fix this, go ask for I don't think you're going to get it, though. There are some evangelists out there they lay claims they can do it. An exorcism to run the demons out. But these are powerful flesh-eating demons. They're soul eaters. They're soul eaters. And once these soul lockers gets on, they've locked onto your soul. They're not. It's just like one of those snapping turtles. Once they bite you, even if you cut their heads off, you're going to have to take it and have them prized off your arm or finger. You're going to have to prize these out of the hearts and souls of the people who has them. So, ladies and gentlemen, in their hearty, I'm going to call it not their heart's approval. I'm going to call it in their hearty approval. In their hearty approval of homosexuality. Those that support them. Okay? Let's talk about this. Their rebellion. Let's talk about their rebellion. You remember all the way back, even it started, you know, even before 1960, but it came out a little bit more in the 60s, you know. Hey, let them do their thing, man. Oh, that's cool, they're just doing their thing. But it got really bad, super bad, in the 80s and 90s. And it's just rolled on to what we got now. It's full blown, it's over with. Stick a fork in it, it's done, okay? It's done. America is done. Sodom and Gomorrah. God has lit the fuse. All we got to do now is wait for the bang, the boom, and the after effect. That's all we got to wait on now, because it's over. Now let me tell you, that's brought to me with the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about this if I've got time, okay? All right, I'm running out of time, so let's see how much more I can get in here, okay? All right. But anyway, in their rebellion against God, it doesn't stop there. It didn't stop there. Those thus judged also promoted it, condemned others who didn't approve of it. Now, what are you talking about, judge? I'm talking about the judges of the land, the state court judges, the county judges, the city judges, and now we even see the court of the highest court of the nation, the Supreme Court now. The Supreme Court upheld their rebellion. Okay? Now, if you happen to rebel against these homosexualities, now they're going to promote laws that it's going to be a hate crime. Hate crime is you could get a life sentence for that. You can actually, if you, God forbid, lay a hand on one of them, you could get the death penalty. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Do you hear what I'm talking about? The story I told you other day. They could, right now, if I do the same thing right now, I don't care if the man was tearing my clothes off, if I popped him in a tater, it would have been considered a hate crime against the gay. Don't you understand what I'm saying here, ladies and gentlemen? I wouldn't have been the victim. The gay person would have been the victim. I don't have any rights anymore. Remember that. The gays has got all the rights now. When it comes to that, when it comes to their sexual perverseness, they've got all the laws and rights behind them now. Supreme Court has said so. This country is now full-fledged, not only killing babies at will, with blood on its hands of innocent little children that came to defend themselves. Now they have widely opened up the doors of the living hell, and it's unleashed now. And there's no way that we can stop it. There is no return. There's no return. And what is going to happen? It's going to get worse. Dangerous to society. And the danger lies in the fuse has been lit by the hand of God. God was standing back. He said, only there's one more thing that's going to turn America into Sodom and Gomorrah. And it happened when the Supreme Court said, now, it's lawful. It's lawful. And not only that, there's all the other things is now. But did you realize that now sodomy is not illegal? It cannot be illegal. It's got to be legal now. So in other words, if your son or if your little daughter, 8 years old, is sodomized by somebody, they can get them for rape. They can charge them for rape, but they cannot. Now listen to me. They cannot get them anymore for sodomy because it is now legalized. Sodomy is legal. Don't you understand what I'm talking about? If somebody takes your wife or even yourself, you can get them for rape, but you cannot get them for sodomy. Don't you understand what's happened here, ladies and gentlemen? I woke up and I was sick to my stomach all day when I watched and looked at the White House has been lit up in all the colors of the rainbow and how so proud they are because he is one. His wife is one. She looks like a woman, but she is not one. I'll guarantee you, I'll stake it on it. The two children they got are adopted and it's all been under hush-hush. That's why you can't have anything to do with his birth certificate because they don't want you to run back and get their marriage license or it goes on and on and on, ladies and gentlemen. And I could do a whole 14, 15 shows on Michelle Obama, how powerful she is. She has more power in the White House and in Congress than anybody. And Valerie Jarrett, they're running the show, ladies and gentlemen. And I can prove that, and they know I can prove it. And Hillary Clinton is 1,000 times worse than Michelle Obama. Hey, Hillary has been caught and proven that she is a gay as well. She has been gone and had sex with far more women than she ever has with Bill. Ever have with Bill. That's why dear old Bill had to do the things he did, because he wasn't getting none at home. Hey, is this thing on? Have I got your attention? I hope I do. Ladies and gentlemen, so in their hearty approval of homosexuality, they encourage others to accept their patience. They encourage it to them to accept their practice of homosexuality, and thus their sin spreads across this not only this nation but around the world as well. Whatever happens in L.A., whatever happens in San Francisco, whatever happens in America happens also around the world, because they gobble it up. They watch the Hollywood movies. Oh, our heroes comes out of those big silver screens and across those boob tubes, and we've got to be like them. Oh, can we be? Yes, we got to be gay. Gay's cool. Gay's so cool. It's so cool. Don't you like to go out and buy clothes and look cool? They're going to wish they had some cool where the place they're going to. I'll guarantee you. Their rebellion against God does not stop there. Okay? Approval. Everybody now, they got full approval of everybody. Now, I guarantee you, listen to the Pope. The Pope's going to walk out. He's going to say maybe, probably about 10 or 15 or 12 seconds, 10 or 12 seconds worth of mumbling. He's going to mumble about it. He's not going to say anything strong-hearted, I guarantee you. He's going to say he's disgusted or something like that, and he's going to move on to something else, like the green gases and the climate and all this. That's more important to him. Because how can he condemn it when his own priest and himself is doing the same thing? Hey, yeah, here we go now. Wind it up and let it go. Sin spreads. In this, they will reject the ways of God and stand in opposition to Christ's redemptive work on the cross, ladies and gentlemen. On the cross, everything that Christ did, redemptive work, will be done for nil, for nothing. It's like when those blessed boys lost all their blood in Iraq and Afghanistan. It's going to be all, in the end of end, be brought down for null, nothing, because it's going to fall in the hands of the caliphate, the Islamists, which, by the way, Obama wants to happen. He wants Iran to take over Afghanistan. He wants Iran to have Iraq. He wants Iran to move across so he can get rid of Israel. That's his main projective. And he also hopes that they move into America, because Obama by that time is going to be somewhere else. He's going to get he and himself and his family the heck out of probably where he was really born at. He's going to wind up where he was really born, and then he's going to be set back and smoking a big fine cigar, laughing, ha ha ha, look at them bastards die in America. And I can say that word bastards because it's God used it in Enoch. God said, go kill those bastards, which those women had by the fallacies of the fallen angels. Please go kill all those bastards. That's what he said. And all bastard means, it's not a bad word, it's not a filthy word. Look it up. All it means is those that are not ordained in the eyes of God by marriage and given into hand in hand by God by marriage, a man and a woman. Okay, every one of these marriages, they're going to be getting married, but it's not going to be in the eyes of God. And another thing, I want them to take that out of there. I don't want to see nary one of them say, you know, invested in me, in God, da 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 da. They shouldn't even be in church. It's because church should not back it up. And if any of these churches start marrying two men and two women, they are not worthy to even give not one cent to. If you do, you're supporting it and you're condoning it. And what I'd say, what did the Bible say if you support it and condone it? Where did it say that your soul is going to wind up? In immortal, damnable hell is where you're going to wind up. If you don't believe me, I don't care. Go read it for yourself. And then if you don't believe me, go right ahead and continue on doing what you're doing. You go right in there and get both feet in it deep as you can. And you ride it out, brother and sister. You ride it out to the day you die. And then when you stand there looking starry-eyed, right in the eyes, flaming eyes of the Almighty God on his judgment seat. And when he clicks his fingers, he waves his mighty angels come and say, drag this piece of crap. Get this piece of crap and drag it over there to that pit over yonder of everlasting pain, suffering, and gnashing of teeth, and burning until everlasting to everlasting to everlasting. bye, see you later. That's your judgment. That's your judgment right there. If you voted to support the abortions, you're going that way too. You didn't have to commit any kind of, but that the blood is still on your hands. And if you didn't vote to stop it, you're going as well, because you could have got up and stopped it if you'd got your rear end off the couch and voted. You could have done something. You could have put a stop to this abortion. Now it's going to get worse, by the way. Until there are so many gays in this country, there's no more babies being born. Then the government may start paying people. Hey, we'll pay you. Hey, man, we'll pay you to marry this woman if you'll have us 3 kids. We'll give you $1 million because we need some taxpayers, man. Do you know these homos are saying they're not producing any more taxpayers? You know, and then there's no more kids to adopt because God has placed a curse. And you remember, ladies and gentlemen, you remember in Revelations, Revelation, I'm getting tied up here now, here we go. In Revelations, ladies and gentlemen, in Revelations, it said that He's going to spread plagues and pestilences. And I believe one of those plagues and pestilences is going to be on the homosexuals. I really do. God's going to create something. He's going to unleash it on the homosexual community, and it's going to go through, God help us all, it's going to do some awful, devastating things. And I don't think it's going to kill them. I don't think he's after it. It's going to make them suffer and wish that they had never taken a phallus in the anus. And they're going to figure out it wasn't cool. It's not too cool anymore. Just like they were running around when AIDS was chasing them. You remember the panic back in those days? I truly believe that may have been where AIDS came from. The hand of God throwing it out and saying, hey, why don't you open up your eyes? I don't like this. I don't approve of this. But they did not listen, did they? No, they just got some pills now, and they can go do what they want. Once again, they can do what they want to do. But they got to take 150 pills a day, thousands of pills a month, and still die a horrible death. But the worst yet, they're going to die and be in pain and misery over and over and over and for eternity in the bowels of the nastiness of what we call the living hell. And yes, hell is alive. Ladies and gentlemen, their hearty approval. They stand in opposition of Christ upon the cross. Without Jesus, they will have no forgiveness. Without Christ, they'll have no forgiveness. And without forgiveness, they will have no salvation. Without salvation, there is only damnation in the eternal pits of the living hell. We don't want this for anyone. That's why I'm here. But don't risk your life, because they're not going to listen. They're not going to change it because you say so or the Bible says so. You can point it to them. You can say, read this. Would you please read this? Go home and just don't let nobody know you read it. But would you please read this? Would you just read this? And if you go onward with what you're doing, then that's fine. You know. But I want you to know that I cannot condone it. I cannot support it. And I'm against it. You know. And just walk away. That's all you can do. That's all you can do. That's all I'm going to do. And then, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to have to go ahead and call it now. I wish I could go ahead and do more. Here's what I'm going to do. And I don't know if God's willing and He lets me do it. If Satan doesn't do anything horrible to me and my equipment, God will help me get back on. What I want to do is bring also on my next show, is homosexuality, is it politically correct? Okay, people's asked me that. What's this? And I don't like this politically correct crap. It does have things to do with the Bible, because the Bible does deal with politics. It does deal with politics. It deals with governments. God has a government in heaven, where a lot of these so-called Christians, they don't want to believe that. I've seen them run from my show because I said that they said you shouldn't tie in government with religion. I said, what? If you don't, what do you have left? You know, it was God that set up the first kingdom, was it not? It was God that showed the kingdom how to form a Congress, you know, the House and the Senate, and all these elective branches. It was God who said this it's got to be done this way, or you will not be able to control your kingdom. You can't do it. One person can't do it on his own. You know, it's more to it than that. You know, you should be able to know that if you have a big family. You know, the woman has to have help. If not, she cannot do it. She'll come unglued, man. She'll come unglued. She'll go buy a gun and then do herself in, because if she's got 10 or 12 kids to raise. I'm not saying they can't do it. There's a lot of them out there that has. But there's also a lot of them that wound up in the grave because they hung themselves. They shot themselves. Or they took an overdose of drugs, which is, and wine is their preferred way to go. To go to sleep and never wake up again. So you got to have help. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to do another show. Now, my next show, that's what I'm going to bring. Is it politically correct? I will answer that about the homosexuality. And I'm going to also talk about the homosexuality. Is it a sexual orientation? Okay, I'll go into that. Okay, and then what is the homosexual hope? The homosexual's hopes, what is it? What is it? And what should the Christian's response be to the homosexual? So, ladies and gentlemen, please hang on, and in the next shows will come up, I will tell you about all of that. In the name of the Holy One, Jesus Christ, please go read your Bible. Don't be hanging butch, because, you know, what I said here is all backed up by the Bible and by the Word. And go read it for yourself, you know. So, don't point fingers until you read it for yourself, because any finger pointing you're going to may have to do be pointing to yourself. So, ladies and gentlemen, until you hear from me again, I pray that God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you, upon you with 100% all of His grace and love, that you will do His commands and His will. And I want you to carry out His laws, what He wants you to do, not what man wants you to do, but what God wants you to do, and do the right things, and do not support evil. Please, God forbid, don't support evil. And if it turns your stomach to see that Capitol and the White House turned into a rainbow of colors, would you do me a favor and write and tell them they need to tear down all of those buildings? They're Roman buildings, you know that, and they stand for slavery. Rome was the biggest slave taskmaster there was in Egypt. And then that obelisk, and there's a lot of buildings in Washington D.C. Three quarters of them is Rome's, and the other is by Egypt. So I am offended, you know, because my people, the Native Americans, was slaved, enslaved. Yes, they was. They was enslaved and taken, put on reservations. What do you think reservations is? They're enslaved, they're encapsulated, and still are today, ladies and gentlemen. So that kind of offends me. I want every building in that town, Washington, D.C., to be taken down, because it offends me. Think about it. And tell those in that mighty, mighty buildings that they go into, they're so proud of, tell them to tear it down, because it offends the minority. It offends the minority. May Jesus Christ live and love in your heart forevermore, till we meet in heaven on the judgment day. This is Dr. Butch Melton, Sacred Heart Old Time Gospel Hour. Till we meet again. Bye-bye.